when you hear the word of God and you're open to the word of God, you can be in your house and it can bless you, or you can be in the house of God and it'll bless you more. So come on out. And I want to thank everybody for their donations. It's the Lord who's providing for us, and he's using us as the instruments to provide. So God bless you as a good friend Mike comes up and shares the word from the book of Revelation. And you guys will be blessed as you open up your Bibles to chapter 9. And Sunday school is dismissed.
Hey, everybody. God is good, right? So we're going to be reading out of Revelations 9 this morning. So just turn to your Bibles. That's where we left off. So we're going to read it. Revelations 9. I keep saying Revelations. It's Revelation. No S. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings were like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had as a king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in the Greek he has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, Hickian blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, of their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that all we need is your word, Lord Jesus. It's your word that brings us to faith. It's your word that gives us hope. It's your word that washes us, Lord. And we thank you that we are not left in the dark of our future or what is going to happen in the future. Lord, you let us in into all things, Lord. It is your desire that you should let your saints know your will, Lord. And we just thank you for who you are. So again, we thank you in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. So in Revelations, before that, Revelations 8, we'll do a quick recap. We see that there were seven seals before these trumpets. Right now, we're in the trumpet judgment. But before that, there were seven seals. And the first four seals were seals on the earth judgments. You had the four horsemen, which brought tyranny. They brought war. It brought famine. It brought death. And then you had the trumpet judgments. The first four trumpet judgments were kind of the same thing. They were judging the earth, where you judge the vegetation, the seas, the fresh waters, and the sky. Then came the five to seven seals. It was more a glimpse into heaven, where you had the martyrs crying for their blood to be avenged. You had a cosmic disruption, and it had a heavenly prelude into the trumpets, the seven trumpets. And now we're going into the judgments of the trumpets from five to seven. And I would just like to say all hell breaks loose as we start to read. This chapter, I would call it the tale of two armies. We're about to see hell just being let loose, and the demons, these fallen angels, you'll start to see the opposition. This opposition that in this cosmic war that we're having right now, and the war that our God is fighting, you know, his opposition. And while we start to read this, we see that God is in full control the whole time. Chapter 9, it says, we'll start at chapter 8, verse 13. It says, "And I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound.'" So these next trumpet judgments are three woes. And when we start to go through it, you that's how you're going to feel. You're going to be like, whoa. When you start to read it, you're going to be like, wow, I didn't really understand this spiritual warfare that was going on, and how much Satan hates us. You know, his agenda, what's brewing inside of him, and God lets it loose. So we start at chapter 9. It says, "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit." So this star, we read before in, I think, earlier chapters where John sees stars falling from heaven, and that's more cosmic. But with this star, it says a key was given to him. So now we know that this star is a person. A lot of people believe it's Satan. I believe it's Satan also. When you go into Isaiah, Satan is referred to as the morning star, Isaiah 14 and 12. In Luke 10 and 18, Jesus says that he saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. So in the Greek here, what John is seeing, he said the star falling. It's the Greek is saying that he didn't see the star fall, but it already had fallen. And now you start to understand where Christ is like, you know, where he saw Satan falling like a star from heaven. John didn't actually see it, but he sees this star, and to him was given a key to the bottomless pit. Now, this bottomless pit is referred to a couple of times in the Bible. It's referred to seven times in Revelation, twice in the New Testament. When Jesus was doing the exorcist on the man with the demons, the legions of demons, they begged Christ not to be sent into this bottomless pit. You know, that's the bottomless pit he's talking about. In Revelations 20, Satan will be bound in this bottomless pit for 1,000 years during Christ's reign. This is the same bottomless pit that the Antichrist rises up from. And it's more a place of torment for the demons. That's why those legions was like, not before our time. They understood who Christ was. They knew Christ had full control. When we read in Revelation, Christ tells John, I have the keys to death and hell. You know, Christ is in full control. And we're seeing one of the keys is given to this angel, and he, you know, he releases the bottomless pit. This is not hell. This is not Gehenna. We see that later in Revelations, where it tells you hell is thrown, you know, Hades is thrown into Gehenna. It's thrown into the lake of eternal fire. So this bottomless pit is not that. We know of Hades. This is more of a place for the lost. You know, when the lost dies, they go into Hades. And we have another part of hell called Tartarus that Peter mentions. And this is a lockup for the fallen angels, where he tells you the fallen angels are bound there. So you have these different parts of hell. And all I have to say is hell is real. It's a real actual place where demons and angels are being held and Satan is going to be locked up. It is a real place. It's not a state of mind. It's a real place where people are going to go. Even Christ says, you know, those who are sent to hell, it wasn't even meant for you. It was meant for Satan and his angels. And as we start to read, we start to see more and more of that. They said that hell is, this place, it has a shaft. So a lot of people believe it's going to be in the bottomless pit. It's going to be in the middle of the earth, because as the earth rotates, you're thinking about the middle of the earth, and the earth rotates, it kind of goes down. So now as the earth rotates, it kind of begins again and it goes down. It begins again and it goes down. So this bottomless pit is never ending. So, I wouldn't want to fall down there, because this is like a never-ending torture. Verse 2, it says, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. So now, as he opens this bottomless pit, it's like, you know, opening a pressure cooker. You got these demons that's in there rumbling, fiending to come out. And as soon as he opens it, a smoke comes out of it. And, you know, the another place in the Bible that we hear about the smoke of kind of a furnace is with Abraham and Lot. When Abraham saw Sodom and Gomorrah after the Lord had destroyed it, he said he saw the smoke like it was a smoke from the furnace. Even Jude says that the judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah was, it came from an eternal fire. So this fire, this smoke is supernatural. You know, it says that when God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, it was like this eternal fire. Like it came from the throne of God itself. And we're seeing that this smoke, as soon as it's let out, it says it darkens the air and it darkens the sun. And you got to think about now the sun is dark. There's no sunlight. The temperature starts to drop. Now you're feeling this cold that's going to be let out on the earth. Verse 3, it says, then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. So now you see locusts is coming out of this smoke. So now the smoke, you got to kind of imagine this thing. The bottomless pit is opened, the smoke come out, and out of the smoke, now locusts, these locust things start to run out of the smoke. And it says it was given to them power as the scorpions of the earth, as the scorpions of the earth have power. So again, this power was given to the angel to get the key of the bottomless pit. And this power was given to the locust. Christ is in full control all the time. They don't have no power to do any of this if our Lord and Jesus Christ don't allow this. So we're seeing that, you know, they were giving power as locusts. And it says they were commanded not to hurt. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their forehead. So these are not regular locusts, because regular locusts, they harm, they destroy the vegetation. So you're seeing this is demonic. This is something supernatural. This is something demonic. And they were commanded not to hurt any of the trees, any of the vegetation, but their sole purpose is to hurt those who do not have the seal of God upon their foreheads. Those people who've constantly rejected Jesus Christ. From now until then, they've been constantly rejecting the Lord. And now these locusts, these demonic locust type things are being let out to harm them as scorpions. It says, for those who do not have the seal of God upon their forehead. So we know that there are going to be 144,000 Jewish evangelists that's going to be out there. They're going to have converts. There's going to be people that's going to turn to the Lord during that time. When those 144,000 is out there preaching, they're going to be sealed with the seal of God. And you kind of think it's just like Egypt. You know, when Egypt, when the locusts came and all the plagues came during the time of Egypt, it didn't hurt the people of Israel. It didn't hurt the Israelites. It only affected the Egyptians at that time. So during the time of Egypt, when the frogs and all these, you know, the death of the first of the firstborn, the plagues, when they were coming upon the earth, they were just it was weird because it's only hurting the Egyptians and it's not hurting the Israelites. So now you got to think that God is in control where these demons, they're being let out. These locust type things are being let out and they're tormenting those without the seal. But those with the seal, they're not touching. So it's gonna be kind of crazy. Ephesians 1:13, it says, in him ye also, when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. So you're gonna have people at that time that's gonna hear, they're gonna believe, and they're gonna be sealed with the promise of God. Verse 5, it says, and they were not giving authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. So the lifespan of a locust is 5 months. It's from May to September. And, you know, 5 months is the same time that Noah, you know, he was in the flood on the earth at that time. So it's, you know, a lot of scholars, when you read it, it's kind of, they look at it as kind of just the judgment of God, the 5 months. I mean, I don't want to look too much into it, but it kind of makes sense. Like the same God yesterday, same God today. And, you know, they were allowed to torment them. You know, you have some people that believe that these are helicopters, these locusts. I don't believe they're helicopters. I believe that there's a bottomless pit. There's demons there. And they're being led out to torment men. Exactly how I'm reading it is how I'm seeing it. I don't believe they're helicopters. You know, I don't believe that. But, you know, during that time, you're going to have just people running for their lives. You know, they're going to be tormented. And the thing about it is they don't have the authority to kill them. It's just to torment them. And when I read that, I see it as the grace of God. Like, he could have gave them power to kill him, but it's like, no, you're just going to be tormented. It's like God, he raises the fire little by little because our God is full of mercy. He's full of grace. You got to understand his whole heart is so that these people could turn around. So he doesn't just give them the full blast. It's just like how we read before how the seals, they were able to kill a third of mankind. He wants man to understand that this is his doing, and he wants man to turn around and praise him and worship him and come to him because he wants to be with man. So even those people who are Christ rejecting at this time, you know, he's turning up the fire little by little. So they wasn't given authority to kill them, but just to torment them. Verse 6, it says, in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. Ain't no martyrs, Angelo. They're gonna be looking for death at this time. Like, this torment, like they said that the sting of a scorpion is like one of the worst stings you could ever have. Like, this is one of the worst pains you could ever feel. And these people are going to be getting tormented. And they're going to be looking for death. And you have to think that death is going to flee. They're not going to be able to find death. On average, like in the United States, there's 130 suicides per day. You know, and you got to think that people are going to be out there looking to kill themselves. So you got to picture it. Imagine somebody, you know, jumping off a bridge, landing. You know, messing up their legs, messing up their arms, messing up their bodies, but their spirit is, their soul is still in them. So they're going to be walking around maimed. You got to think about people who are probably try to shoot themselves to death. You know, missing eyes, missing heads. Like, that's how grotesque it's going to look out there. And people are going to be begging for death. They're going to be trying to kill themselves, and they're not going to be able to. And these are the type of people that's going to be walking the earth at that time. It's going to be a sad, it's just a sad picture. But again, this is God just trying to get to mankind in his mind and in their hearts that he wants them to turn back to him. Verse 7, it says, the shape of the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings were like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. So, again, you're seeing, you know, this locust, these locust-type creatures, you know, faces of men, women's hair, teeth like lions. I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, you could watch all the scary movies in the world, all the demonic scary movies in the world. You're not going to be able to picture these creatures that's going to be coming out and that's going to be torturing men. Verse 10, it says, they had tails like scorpions, and they were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. Verse 11 says, and they had as a king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek he has, his name is Apollyon. So, you know, when you go into the books of Joel 1 and 2, when you got time, it kind of correlates with this. You know, just locusts coming out, the day of the Lord, the judgment. Verse 11, it says they had a king over them. And what's interesting, when you go to Proverbs 30 and 27, it says the locusts have no king, yet they all advance in their ranks. So the natural locust, when it's let loose, like during, like in the scriptures, God always used locusts for judgment, you know, on the nation of Israel, just judgment period. And, you know, Proverbs, it tells you that the locust has no king. But here it tells you that they did have a king. So it's to stress to you that this is not a natural phenomenon. You know, this ain't regular locusts. These are demon type creatures, to the point where John saw and they had a king over them. You know, so it's obvious that this is hell being let loose on the earth dwellers at this time. And the name Abaddon, the name Apollyon, it means destruction, you know, in the Hebrew and in the Greek. You know, so it's safe to say that king that is over these locusts at this time is Satan. You know, that's what I feel. You know, it doesn't specify, but as you read it more and more, it's just the characteristics of Satan himself. You know, he's the king over these locust type creatures that's being led upon the earth. Verse 12, it says, one woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. It's like the worst is yet to come. Like, after this woe, this is the first woe, and he's like, two more woes have to pass. I mean, after this, I would have cried uncle already, and I would have been like, Lord, just, you are God, you are king, I don't want no more. Being tormented for 5 months, that's all I need. I don't even need 5 months. Give me 5 hours. I'm like, nah, this is it, you know, but you're going to see, you know, the Lord is like, there's more woes to come. Verse 13, it says, then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before the Lord. And it specifies, it says, you know, the four horns of the golden altar. So it's a specific altar before the throne of God. And verse 14, it says, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So, you know, again, you know, 2 Peter and Jude says that there were fallen angels, you know, during the time of Genesis who went into the daughters of men, and they're being bound, they're being held, you know, and, you know, you got to think, since Genesis, these angels were bound, I mean, they're pretty upset, you know, they want to be let loose. And verse 15, it says, so the four angels who had been prepared For the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. So these angels were bound, but, you know, the Lord had a specific judgment for, you know, I'm thinking the Lord understood what would happen. You know, he sees all things. He knows all things. And he had these angels bound at that time. And, you know, it gives you the location, the river Euphrates, and what's just, I start to understand about it. The river Euphrates is the landmark of ancient Babylon. The Euphrates is associated with the first sin, the fall of man. The first murder, Cain and Abel, happened, you know, around the river Euphrates. The first organized revolt against God, the Tower of Babel, is synonymous with the river Euphrates. And the first dictatorship, Nimrod, you know, it's all synonymous with this river Euphrates. So the river Euphrates is something that the Lord, he sees, he understands that it plays a special part in it. And these angels, they were bound there. And, you know, for this time, it says for a specific day, a specific time, a specific year. Like, the Lord always has a plan. And when I read this, I'm like, even for my life, he knew the specific day, he knew the specific hour, he knew the specific time that I would be saved. Like, to this day, I still remember that day. To this day, I still remember the time that I was saved. And the Lord had that plan even before the foundations of the earth. Like, the Lord is very calculated. Every time I think about God, I'm like, God always has a plan. Even when I don't understand what's going on in my life, he has a day, he has an hour, he has it down to the millisecond on exactly what he wants to do with you, wants to do with those around you. So don't ever think anything is coincidence or it just happened. Nah, that's not our God. Our God is very calculated, and he always has a plan. And you're seeing it here, even for the judgment. You know, he had a plan at that time. It says, so verse 16, it says, now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. So, you know, these angels, they were released at this time to kill a third of mankind. And with them, you know, they have an army. And the army is 200 million. So you got to think of a third of mankind is going to, you know, you're seeing, again, now you're seeing the second army. The first army was locusts, you know, these demon locusts, and now you're seeing the second army that's being headed, you know, with these four angels. And, you know, it says a third of mankind. So before, when we were reading with the seal judgments, you always saw this third of mankind, third of mankind, third of mankind. And it's estimated to have 8 billion people on earth at this time. So you think about a third of mankind then, and just a third of mankind now, it's like close to half a billion, like half of that. So you're thinking about 4 billion people are going to be dying during this time. It's not going to be a pretty sight. You know, you don't want to be here for that time. You know, so now you're thinking about 4 billion people, you know, on earth at that time is going to be dying. So, you know, you have this army that comes out is, you know, 200 million. Verse 17, it says, and thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hicketh blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. So, you know, this demonic army, it don't even focus on the riders, but it focused more on the horses. You know, and it tells you that, you know, their heads were like lions, you know, fires coming out of their mouth, smoke, brimstone. Verse 18, it says, by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire of the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouth. So it's like fire-breathing horses that is being let loose, 200 million of them. So you just had, you know, locusts running everywhere, these demonic locusts. Now you're having these horses that's breathing fire and sulfur, that's breathing fire and brimstone. And brimstone, when it's let out, it sucks up the oxygen all around. So now it's dark because the smoke of the furnace done blacked out the sun. You know, the oxygen is getting tighter around people. And they're being tormented by by locusts, scorpions. They're being tormented by horses, fire-breathing horses. I mean, this is something out of Lord of the Rings, man. And while I was reading it, I was just like, wow, you know, take it for what it says, that God has, you know, he has a certain time and a certain year and a certain date that all of this is going to be let loose. And these things actually exist. You know, if it didn't, God wouldn't have put it in his word. You know, he put it in his word to just so that, you know, mankind could understand this is what's going to be the future of the earth. And you don't want to be here at that time. So, you know, these fire breathing horses, they're out. Verse 19, it says, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. So you're thinking about, you know, the horses at this time, they got tails like serpents, and on the end of the tail is a head. So they're breathing fire from one end, and their tails have heads, and it's attacking you from both sides. So no matter where you go, where you're trying to run from them, they're hitting you from both sides. And there's people that's going to be running for their lives. There's people that's going to try to hide. And these things are going to be on the earth attacking mankind at that time. You know, even in the Old Testament, like with Elijah and Elisha, you know, the Lord always showed even his servants. You know, when it says that Elijah was taken up, he was taken up with chariots or horses of fire. You know, even with Elisha, when Elisha was scared about the army, you know, that was going to attack him. You know, I think it's in Kings 6. And Elisha's servant was afraid. And Elisha was like, Lord, reveal what's, you know, the other side to him. And when he saw the Lord's army surrounding the army that was about to attack him. So, you know, there's a supernatural war going on. There's a supernatural side. The Lord has his angels, his troops, and Satan, as we read, obviously has his armies. Verse 20, it says, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by the plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols and gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor talk. And you got to think, after seeing all of this, after going through all of this, mankind still doesn't repent. Mankind still doesn't turn to God. You know, we're seeing them breaking the first commandment here, where they're worshiping idols. They're worshiping demons at that time. You know, they're still doing this. It's still business as usual, even being tortured by these demonic beings. And, you know, as you start to understand more and more just the hardness of man's heart, how good we're not. We're not good. The only person that is good is God. Because you're seeing God letting loose. He's letting all hell loose on mankind, and they're still not repenting. Verse 21, and it says, and they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. And as we start to, you know, we're seeing more and more in this world just how they're propping up everything that is against God. They're propping, like, sorceries here, the Greek word for it is pharmakia. That's where we get pharmacy from, the word pharmacy, which means drugs. And, you know, people are still going to want to do drugs. You know, we're seeing it. We're seeing how Satan is setting up this world, you know, just with the legalization of marijuana, you know, just how he's setting this world up, the sexual immorality, any kind of sexual act outside of God's, you know, form of marriage between a man and a woman. You're seeing that they're not going to give that up. They're still going to hold on to their sins, their thefts, their murders. You know, you're seeing just an uptick in violence as we start to see more and more on the news and just more and more around us. Violence. Everybody's violent. Everybody's calling for violence. You know, everybody just want to hit and punch and shoot and do whatever. And we're seeing that man at that time is not gonna give it up. And you know what? It showed me that judgment doesn't, even judgment doesn't turn the heart of men. You know, John 16 and 8 says, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That was Christ talking about the Holy Spirit. He's going to judge of the things that are wrong, the things that are right, and the consequences. Like, there's people who understand that this is coming. You know how many people do not want to read the book of Revelation? Why? Because they're convicted. They're convicted. They know deep down inside that they're sinners. They know that what the judgment of God is coming. The Holy Spirit, he is convicting man, but they don't want to turn away from their sins. And Paul tells us that, you know, it is the goodness of God which leads men to repentance. Hosea 2:14 says, therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. Hosea 11:4 says, I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. God's heart is to bring mankind back to him. The natural way that he wants to do it, the way that he wants to do it, is through love. And it's only through love that people are going to turn to Jesus Christ. As we read this chapter, we see that he let out locusts, he let out demons, he let out fire-breathing horses with tails like serpents, and people still didn't repent. It's not judgment that's going to make people turn to God. It's the love of God. It's the kindness of God. And we're seeing that even with all, you know, God letting loose his judgment, mankind still didn't want to repent at that time. And it's a sad thing. When I was reading it, it broke my heart to understand that with all this that was let loose, man still didn't want to turn to God. And, I mean, Revelation, you know, luckily we're not going to be here at that time. You know, those who've accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, this is not for them. But those on the earth, we have family members, we got friends, we got coworkers. Again, I tell people all the time, I don't wish hell on nobody, not even my worst enemy, not even somebody I look to see, you know, I have problems with, that's my worst enemy. I wouldn't want to wish none of that on them. So again, you know, we have to have the heart of Christ. We understand it's kindness, it's love that brings people to God. And this is what we have to portray. Amen. Anybody who hasn't accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I mean, I don't know what else I could go through in Revelation. After seeing all hell being let loose, if this doesn't, I shouldn't say scare you, but kind of just put the fear of God in you to understand that God is who he says he is. What he says is going to happen, it's going to happen. If, you know, reading this, you know, I don't know, you know, but it's something that we all have to examine in our hearts. So if you're here, you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I mean, you know, as the worship team comes up, you know, during the worship, if you want to come up, you know, you want to dedicate your life to Christ. If you're in a place that you know you're not in a good place, you're not sure about your salvation, don't be ashamed. How many times you have to come up, how many times you have to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just keep on doing it. You know, it says make your election sure. You know, so during worship, if you want to come up, you know, and just pray, you know, I'm going to be here. And just thank God for his mercy and his grace that those who've accepted Christ, this is not our fate. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your compassion, Lord. We know that you are a righteous God, that you have to judge sin. You are holy. You are pure. You are true. And this is not your desire. Your desire is that everyone should come to salvation. You know, you don't want this for mankind, but this is all that's left for them if they don't want to turn to you, Lord. And it's a sad thing. It's a thing that just breaks all our hearts, Lord. We hurt with you, Lord. So, Lord, we just ask that you continue to have compassion on each and every one of us, Lord. If anybody here who doesn't know you, Lord, we ask that you tug on their hearts, you tug on their minds, Lord, and that you just bring them to you. As you said in Hosea, Lord, you will allure them. Lord, you will woo them to you. This is who you are, Lord, so we can count on your word. So we thank you again just for your mercy and your grace. In the name of your son, Jesus, amen.
Father, we just thank you, Dave, for the gathering here today, the church open, Lord God. We thank you for the word from Michael, Lord. We pray, Lord, that someone does see what's coming, Lord God. We know your word is truth, Lord. So, Father, if that sermon changed someone's life today or a song here today, Lord, that's what we did for your glory, Jesus. So everybody go in peace. We love you guys, and we'll see you during the week on the prayer line or Sunday at church. Amen.
Amen.
How are you, Al?